As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I ran into an old friend the other day, hadn't seen in many years. And I noticed he seemed kind of sad and depressed, so I asked him, "Well, what's going on in your life?" He said, "Well, about 4 weeks ago, my uncle passed away and left me $10,000. 3 weeks ago, I was planting a tree in my backyard and dug up an old box that was full of jewelry and was worth about $20,000. And 2 weeks ago, I won the lottery, $30,000. So I said, "Wow, well, then why the gum face?" He said, he replied, "Why? I'll tell you why. It's been more than a week and there's been nothing." I'm sure most of you heard the saying that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Every day, most of us spend untold hours just trying to get to that other side. But there's one big problem. Because there's always another fence and always greener grass. Yet millions of us are convinced that the next fence is the one that separates us from the good life. If only I were thinner, I'd have a good life. If only I were richer, I'd have a good life. If only the kids would come home. If only the kids would leave home. If only I could get married or get divorced. If only my skin would clear up. My calendar be free of appointments, my job not so demanding, then I could have the good life. If only I could get over that next fence. How many of us are standing there gazing longingly at what appears to be greener grass? Does it seem like the good life is only one fence away, one purchase away, one promotion away, one election away, or one vacation away? If so, then we've identified some of our anxiety. For we're in a hurry to get to the greenest grass, but we're always worried that we never will. So we work long hours, borrow more money, take on more projects, pile on more responsibilities. Stress, debt, short nights, and long days. All part of the cost for a ticket to the land of green grass and the good life, right? Well, not exactly. In our scripture today, St. Paul and Jesus both remind us that the good life begins not when circumstances change, but when our attitude does. Look again at their attitude for anxiety. Simply stop and say, "Thank you." Develop an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude is a mindful awareness of the gift of life itself. It is the greatest of all virtues. Studies have linked this emotion with a variety of positive effects. Grateful people tend to be more empathetic, forgiving of others. Grateful individuals demonstrate less envy, materialism, and generally have a more positive outlook on life. Thankfulness improves our self-esteem and enhances our marriages, all our relationships, our quality of sleep, and even how long we live. If it came in pill form, gratitude would be deemed the greatest miracle of all time. Gratitude leads us away from that next fence and escorts us into the beautiful and calming valley of the blessed. The anxious heart says, Lord, if I only had this or that, then everything would be okay. But the grateful heart says, oh, look, God, you've already given me the gift of life, all of creation, and so many, many other blessings. Thank you. Today, I challenge you not to look for the greener grass, but to simply take time to look around. See your friends, your family. Do you feel God's grace? Do you recognize your own gifts, abilities, and talents? For when we acknowledge our blessings, worry and anxiety grabs their bags and slips right out the back door. Worry refuses to share the heart with gratitude. One heartfelt thank you sucks the oxygen right out of worry's world. Simply say, thank you, Lord. Focus more on what you have and less on what you don't. Now, the circumstances of St. Paul's life in our scripture today were pretty miserable as he sat in jail. No reason to hope for his release. In fact, in our second reading, he says, I am suffering even to the point of chains, like a criminal. Yet nothing but shackles dangling from his wrist, his deep faith allowed him to be thankful and content. Does your happiness depend on what you drive or the size of your bank account? If so, you've entered the rat race we call materialism, and it's a race that none of us can ever win. For there will always be another fence. There will always be greener grass, a newer car to buy, a nicer dress to purchase. The cycle is predictable. We assume if we get a new car, we'll be happy. But the car wears out, or we get in an accident. We look for joy elsewhere. We think if I get married, I'll be happy. So you get married, but your spouse disappoints. If we have a baby, if I get a new job, if I can retire. In each case, joy comes, but then diminishes. And by the time you reach old age, you may have ridden a roller coaster of green grass that ends in the valley of disappointment. Life repeatedly lets us down, and we fear it'll let us down again. Materialism turns us into sad, wounded, and worried people. St. Paul has a different strategy. He learned to be content with what he had, which is pretty remarkable, considering he had so very little. He had a jail cell instead of a house. He had little food, little drink. He had chains instead of jewelry, a guard instead of a wife. How could he be so content? It's actually pretty simple. He didn't focus on fences and greener grass. He focused on the love of God and the promise of eternal salvation. He had forgiveness of sins. He had the surety of salvation. He had Christ. And he knew Christ was enough. What he had in Christ was far greater than what he did not have in life. His only aim was to draw closer to Christ. Riches did not attract him. Applause did not matter. The grave did not intimidate him. All he wanted was more Christ. As a result, he was just content. He had joy in his soul. In Jesus, Paul found everything his heart desired. And we should not make a mistake. For what we all have in Christ is greater than anything we don't have in life. We have a God who's crazy about each and every one of us. We have the forces of heaven to monitor and protect us. We have his holy church on earth. And in just a few moments, right here, we'll have the opportunity to receive the greatest gift of all, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus himself, offered to us in the most holy Eucharist. Did you know the word Eucharist actually comes from the Greek word, Eucharistia, meaning thanksgiving. I think that's pretty cool. Because even when we say or even think about the Eucharist, we're actually thanking God for giving us His only Son and allowing Him to become one with us. Brothers and sisters, don't go through life like my old friend in the story who thought he'd found happiness in the riches of the world, only to have fear and anxiety take over. Work to develop an attitude of gratitude, for an ungrateful heart sours itself and then can feed on nothing but its own selfishness. So take time today and every day to take an inventory of your blessings and make a habit of thanking God every day for each one of those special gifts. Sincere gratitude pushes our pride aside and somehow brings us to a deeper faith. Only Jesus can give us happiness and peace that can never be taken away, grace that will never expire, and a wisdom that will never be equal. He is the fountain of living hope, which can never be exhausted. And like the leper in our gospel, let us each fall at the feet of Jesus and offer Him our unending thanks. Then I pray we will all hear the same words that Jesus spoke to him. Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you.